Good evening. It is great to be here, and I count it a privilege to be able to preach to you tonight. Before I start, I would like to thank everybody for giving us the food and inviting us over to the house, and just for being really great to Daniel, Ben, and I. I really hope that this message is going to be a help to you, and I'm preaching to myself mostly. It's something that was working in my heart. God was working in my heart. So if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll be looking at verses 1 through 3, which are going to be the main verses. I'm going to be preaching through chapters 4 and 6. So chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Ephesians chapter 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach. I pray that you give me clarity of mind and clarity of speech, and I pray that you just help the rest of the service to go well, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I've entitled this message, How to Walk Worthy to Our Calling. And first, worthy is to walk appropriately. So we see here in the first verse of chapter 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So basically, that we walk appropriately of the of our calling, of God's calling for us. And then we see, we see how Paul is challenging the people at Ephesus that they need to be walking worthy of their calling. But what is our calling? We each have, as Christians, the calling, which is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It tells at the end of each chapter. But we're going to turn to Mark chapter 16, 15 real quick. I'll read that. And our calling as Christians, it says in verse 16, it says, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and to preach the gospel to every creature. So we as Christians, our calling is to go and tell others about Christ. And we need to be prepared to be able to witness to someone or to be able to talk with someone. So we as Christians, our calling is to go into the world and to tell others about Christ. Then it tells us in verse 2, and it says, with all. So there's an addition to, we need to walk worthy of our calling with all. And then the first thing is lowliness. Lowliness meaning you need to be humble, you need to have humility or be modest. The second thing that it says in verse 2, it says, and meekness. Meekness meaning gentleness or also humility. The third thing it says is long-suffering. We need to be patient. When we're doing God's calling, we need to be patient with others. We need to be patient with God. We need to be waiting for God. The fourth thing that we see in chapter 2 is forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love is to deal with someone or to put up with someone in love. And then later on, we'll be talking about how we need to be putting away anger. And then finally, we see in verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we need to be keeping unity among us. We need to not be stirring up strife, as the verse in the Bible says. The question is, how can we walk worthy of our calling? Well, in Ephesians chapters 4 through 6, I saw three things that can help us to walk worthy or to show us that we can walk worthy of our calling. And the first one is that we need to be forgiven. The first step of being able to walk worthy of our calling is to be forgiven. We see in chapter 4, verses 22, it says, That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the first step that we see that we need, the first step that we need to do to be able to walk worthy of our calling is to be forgiven. We need to put away the old man, and we need to put on the new man, as it says here. And in chapter 5, which I thought was really neat, the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 is kind of like repeating itself. And there's some verses in chapter 5 that say pretty much the same thing. It says in chapter 5, verse 8, it says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as a child of light. So we see here that they were sometimes in the darkness, which is the devil in the world, and then they were in the light. And then it says after, but now are ye light in the Lord. And it says that we need to walk as a child of light. So we can be in the light, we can be saved, but it doesn't mean that we're walking as a Christian should. So we need to be walking in the light. The second thing that we see here that, after we're converted, it tells in the verses underneath of things that we need to change in our life. And the first thing that we see is in verse 25. It's, wherefore, put away from you lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And chapter 5, verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So you see, the first thing is we need to put away lying, and we need to put on truth, because the fruit of the Spirit is found in truth. The second thing that we see in chapter 4 is in verse 26, and it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So it's saying here that whenever we're saved as Christians, the next thing that we need to control is our anger. We need to keep our anger under control. We need to not get angry with people. And it says, in the second part of that, it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means whether or not the person asks for forgiveness to you, you should be in your heart willing to forgive that person, because that's what the Lord has told us to do. And it tells over in chapter 5, it's actually in chapter 4, verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So it's saying in here that we need to be kind one to another. We need to not be angry as what the Bible says. We need to not be angry with someone. And why should we not be willing to forgive someone when God has forgiven us of the sin that we have and has allowed us to go to heaven as a Christian whenever we die or when the rapture comes? So in verse 20, the next thing that we see that we need to change in our life is in verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. And it's pretty straight up and forward. We need to not give the devil, we should not give the devil place in our hearts. We should be using the Lord to fill our hearts and to defend ourselves from the devil. And the next thing we see is in verse 28. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I saw this as we as Christians, we should not be lazy. We shouldn't be stealing to be able to get what we need. And I know that we probably aren't going to all steal here, but it has a point in there, and it's talking about how we shouldn't be lazy as Christians. And it says, the next thing that we see is in verse 29. It says, no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. This is one thing that we can all work on, our mouths. It says somewhere in the Bible, I don't really know where it is, talking about how the tongue, it is a very destructive thing. It can either be a very destructive thing or a very uplifting thing. And it's saying here that we need to put away the corrupt communication out of our mouth, and that we need to use our mouth that God has given us to be able to edify others, to be able to uplift them. It says also in chapter 5, verse 4, it says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So again, it's talking about how we should not let filthiness or foolish talking or jesting to come out of our mouths, but that we should use our mouths to give of thanks. Another verse, it's in chapter 5, verse 12. It says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And in this, another thing, we need to watch our mouth with gossiping about others, because gossiping can be something that can tear down someone. And that's another thing that we need to watch our mouths. And then the last thing that we see in chapter 4, things that we need to change in our life, is in verse 31. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So basically, it's just a recap of what it was just talking about, that we need to get rid of our bitterness, get rid of our wrath, get rid of our anger, get rid of clamoring, evil speaking, again, talking about our malice, and then put away from you with all malice. So the first thing that we need to be able to walk worthy of our calling is we need to be forgiven. We need to be converted. The second thing that we need is we need to be filled with the Spirit. We see this over in chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So how can we be filled with the Spirit? We see these three things of a sign of being filled with the Spirit. And the first one is a glad heart, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We need to be glad in our heart. We need to have a song in our heart. The second thing that we see here is that we need to give thanks. In verse 20, it says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to be giving thanks to God for everything. We see in Paul's life, Paul tells in 2 Corinthians, talks about how he went through shipwreck and how he went through prison. He went through this and I went through that. At the end of it, he says that he's thankful. We should be thankful for everything that we have. We go in a hard time, we should be thankful because we are saved and God will help us get through it. And the third thing that we need to be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. We need to be humble. We need to submit ourselves one to another. We see how Jesus submitted he submitted himself for our sins. So why can't we submit ourselves to others? So first we see that we need to be, be forgiven. The second, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And thirdly, in chapter 6, we need to be fully equipped with the defense of Christ. We see starting in verse chapter 10 of 6, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and the supplication for all saints." So first we see in verse 10 of chapter 6, we see that we need to be in the power of his might. We need to be in God's might. And then the second thing that we see is it says in verse 11 and in verse 13 that we need to be put on the whole armor of God. It's important to put on the whole armor of God because each part of the armor has a specific thing for our life. The first thing we see is the loins girded about with truth. We need to be surrounded with the knowledge of God's truth. The second part of armor that we see is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate in the old days was to protect all the vital organs. We need the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, to keep it from being attacked from the devil. We need to have the breastplate of righteousness on. The third thing that we see is we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to be ready to be able to give an answer to anybody. We need to be ready to witness to someone. And that's having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The fourth thing that we see is, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. So it's saying here that it's the most important. Above all, you need the shield of faith. And evangelist Shane Kallmeyer was here for VBT, and he was talking some on this, talking about how our battlefield is not the world that we're in. Look, that going around, it's in our minds. The battlefield is in our minds, and that we need the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts in our minds, because we as humans do not see the fiery darts coming at us. It's the battle that's going on in our mind, and we need the shield of faith to guard our mind, to keep it pure, to keep it from being destroyed from the devil. Then the fifth thing that we see is we need the helmet of salvation. And then finally, it's talking about the sword of the Word of God, talking about how we need to have that for a defense. It's the only offensive weapon that we have with our armor. And we need to have God's Word in our heart, and we need to be studying God's Word to be able to defend ourselves from the devil. And then in verse 18 of chapter 6, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We need to be praying always. We need to have a good relationship with God. Because if we go and we pray to God, let's say for your breakfast, for your lunch, or for your dinner, what kind of relationship are you going to have with God? We need to have a faithful prayer life with God. We need to be talking with God. So do we have these three things in our life to be effectively walking worthy of God's calling? First, to be forgiven of our sins. Are we forgiven of our sins? Are we converted? Have we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior? Secondly, are we filled with the Spirit? And thirdly, are we fully equipped? Pastor John.